You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Good morning, everybody. So as you can hear, after Easter, I lost my voice again. So that's the second time in a month. I'm not sick at all. So don't worry, I'm not sick. I don't know what's up with my voice. It just keeps disappearing. and I know what you're all thinking. Paul, just talk less. Well, easier said than done. So we're going to try our best. Listen, friends, we're going to start a new sermon series that I'm really excited about. And it makes sense that we as God's children, as followers of Jesus, take time to just hold this before ourselves, to remind ourselves of the things we're going to be talking about in the next 5 weeks that makes sense coming out of Easter. But before I do that, I need to give you a bit of an update. Our church community suffered a bit of a blow this weekend. So on Friday night, so you will know that we have a truck, a Crossroads church truck that transports every week from our offices, from our community center, all the stuff you see here to the church. We transform this church hall every week so that we can worship God together here. So on Friday night, our truck was stolen from outside of our offices. And so, but wait, it gets more crazier than that. So our truck gets stolen. Nicole gets a phone call. Incredible police detective work to find Nicole's number. I don't know how they did that. I mean, that's the most impressive thing, is finding Nicole's number. Well done, Dutch police, for figuring that out, right? So Nicole gets a phone call to say, listen, your truck's gone, because of course the truck was loaded with all our stuff for Sunday. Your beloved coffee machine, the stuff for Sunday school, checking your children in, all the stuff. So we get a phone call, say, listen, it was dumped on the side of, in an arbitrary field near Germany somewhere, I think. So there's all our stuff. Some farmer lady was waiting there. Johan and Nicole got hired a new truck, and Alistair drove, and there's our stuff in some arbitrary field in the middle of nowhere. Look at that. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? So we loaded up our stuff. Have you got the one of the coffee machine? I love how the coffee machine just stands in the middle of a field. It's incredible. Anyway, so loaded it up. Some of our stuff was stolen, like computers and laptops and so on and so on. And all this stuff to check in your children. So we've got to do it by hand. So please be patient with us. But I just firstly want to say a massive thank you to Nicole and Johan and Alistair and the team. So the fact that we can be here and have church still, and I think you can still have coffee. Something broke on the machine, but I think it still works. So hopefully you can get coffee. But of course, the truck's gone. The truck's gone. So all I'm saying is just beware. Johan is looking this week, figuring out how our insurance works. But there might be a chance we might have to do some fundraising because we need a new truck. So just be aware that that's where we're at. So we thank God that we got some of our stuff back. So please just be patient with us. What a crazy thing to happen, right? Anyway, our new sermon series. Friends, we've just come last weekend. We've just come from Easter weekend. This, what seems to be this universal long weekend, holiday celebrated around the world. But for us as believers, as followers of Jesus, it is not just a weekend off or a long weekend. Easter weekend is the most important weekend in our lives. It is where we remember on Friday what Jesus did for us on the cross. How about his sacrifice and his blood made new life and forgiveness and reconciliation with our God possible. And then on Sunday, we remember on Resurrection Sunday that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, I mean, that just changes things dramatically. It means we can be in a relationship with him. We can talk to him, and he knows us, and he hears us. And he's aware about our lives, and he cares about what's going on in our lives. And so we see for centuries our God, the risen, alive Jesus, victorious Jesus, has changed lives down the centuries. And the fact that we are here today is proof and testimony of how God continues to change his lives. And if you have experienced God changing your life, there's just no going back. There's just nothing that can compare to God opening our eyes and just recognizing and being in a relationship with him. And so we talked about Easter Sunday, how the risen Christ gives us a new purpose, a new understanding of who we are and why we're alive. And so we have this new meaning, a new purpose, a new message. Not just that, we have a new family, a new community, the believers of Christ, the church. We have a new hope, a new beginning, a new present, a new ending, all in Christ. So from there, it's appropriate then that you and I ask the question, as we are challenged to live this resurrection life. How do we do that practically? How does that look in our lives? And so starting today, for the next 5 weeks, I want to ask and answer the question. And I want us to talk about stuff that you and I know, we're aware of, but I think it's my duty as your pastor to remind you of these things, to hold it up before you, to say, hey, can I just remind you about a few things? Some practical ways that you and I can practically live out this resurrection life. Some disciplines that you and I need to nurture in our lives so that we can, in keeping with our theme, you remember from February, that you and I can grow. What are some practical disciplines that you and I need to nurture? And I'm going to share five with you over the next few weeks. But I want to say to you, what makes these five disciplines so special is that Jesus himself lived and practiced these disciplines. And so if they were good enough for Jesus, I think they're good enough for us. And so we're going to start with, let me just run them through for you. Today we're going to start with the discipline of worship. We're going to talk about worship. Next week we're going to talk about practicing justice and righteousness and kindness. In other words, serving. The discipline of serving. Then week three, we're going to talk about growing through the discipline of studying the Bible, studying God's word. Then the discipline of being a witness, sharing our faith. And then finally, the discipline of living a generous and grateful life. The discipline of giving of ourselves for the sake of others. And so these five disciplines, there's one obvious one that's missing. I know what you're thinking. Prayer. Prayer we're going to handle separately. Okay? So don't worry about prayer. It's there. We're going to deal with prayer separately. But these five disciplines we see in the life of Jesus. And I want to say to you, I want to remind you, I want to ask you, how is it going with those five disciplines in your life? So we're almost halfway in the year. At the start of the year, we said, this year we want to be intentional with our spiritual growth and development. Be intentional about working out your spiritual growth plan. These five disciplines are key and instrumental in facilitating that growth. And so how are you doing with that? How is it going with nurturing those disciplines in your life? Today, we're going to start with the discipline of worship. So I want to just be very specific when I talk about worship. Worship, all those five things that I spoke about, serving, Bible study, all that things, that's all worship, right? It's all part of our worship. But I want to kind of focus it in and get really focused. And so when I talk about worship, I want to talk about this discipline of gathering with other believers to honor God. the thing we're doing today. I want to encourage us about the discipline of this, of doing this, of making this moment in your week a top number one priority to start your week. Gathering with other believers to honor and worship God. And so that's how I'm going to focus on worship today. I want to start by reading Psalm 95 from the Bible. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today I want to hold before us and encourage us all to nurture the spiritual discipline of corporate and private worship, to make it a priority in our lives. Now, friends, if you know me in the context of Psalm 95, if you know me, you will know that I love nature, all of it, the beach, the mountains, the forest, the deserts, all of it. But what you will also know about me is that in particular, and I'm sorry to discriminate against nature, but above all, I love the African bush and the animals that live in the African bush. And especially a couple of years ago, I had this incredible privilege to take a couple of months out and to do this wildlife guiding course. And I just again came to the realization, just nature is just incredible. It is magnificent. And then I reflected and I thought to myself, but listen, if God created, so God created the earth, right? And if he wanted to, he could have made it really dull and boring. I mean, there's no need for him to have made it so absolutely stunning. Can you imagine if it was just gray and blah? But he didn't. Have you ever seen an African sunset? Well, good. God made it spectacular, and I wonder why. And I think part of God making creation so spectacular and complex, I think it is an expression of God's love for you and me. It is part of God saying, I love you so much. I want you to enjoy life. I want to enjoy being here. I want you to have adventures here. And so I'm not going to just give you a dull, boring environment. I'm going to create this most beautiful place for you to live. It's an expression of God's love for us. And then I reflect and I think about the people in my life. I think about my incredible wife that I've been married to for 30 years this year, right? Just sharing my life with her and my two amazing children, the people that God brings into our lives. I think it's an expression of God's love for us, giving us people around us to enjoy and to celebrate and to love being alive with. God saying, I love you. Then let's not even begin to talk about what we celebrated last weekend, Easter. Saying, expressing my love for you, I give you my son. I hold nothing back as I give to you. The question then becomes, in the context of all of this, God's giving and expressing of his love for us, what then becomes the appropriate response? What do we do with that? How do we respond? I want to say to you this morning that I believe part of the answer to that question, an appropriate and right response to all that God has done and given for us, is worship. An appropriate and right response is you and I acknowledging, recognizing God and who God is, recognizing who we are in relation to God, recognizing that God is God and I am not, and saying, I love you. Thank you for who you are, for changing my life and all that you've done. I recognize you. I acknowledge you for who you are. And therefore, I want to, with all that I am, ascribe you value and worth. I ascribe value and worth. I give thanks to you by loving you with all that I am, by loving your creation and loving the people around me, by surrendering and submitting to your rule and reign in my life. Worship, giving thanks to God. So, by the way, you know that it's not happiness that makes us grateful, right? But it's gratefulness that makes us happy. And worship is an expression of that gratefulness, of that gratitude to our Creator, to our God, and leads to true happiness. Worship, my dear friends, is an essential part, an essential Christian discipline that you and I need if we are to grow in our walk with God. It should be a priority. We see it right throughout Scripture. We see Jesus practicing it, and we see the practice of worship right throughout the centuries. It has formed the heart and the foundation of followers of Christ down the ages. God is worthy of our worship. You and I were created to worship. Couple of definitions for you about worship. Here's the first one. Worship is the continuous outpouring of all that I am, all that I do, all that I can ever become in light of a chosen or choosing God. Another definition. Worship is communion with God, in which believers by grace center their mind's attention and heart's affection on the Lord, humbly glorifying God in response to His greatness and His word. Final definition of worship for you. The inner essence of worship is to know God truly and then respond with thanksgiving from the heart that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things, and then that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and demonstrable acts of love in serving others for the sake of Christ. Worship. I think everything that God makes displays His glory. And nature itself cannot help but worship God. The birds can't help but sing. The stars can't help but shine. Have you seen an African sunset? I already asked. Cannot help but give glory to God. As we look at people and how diverse and beautiful and amazing we are, I think what God has created reflects God's glory. But you and I, what sets us apart is you and I have a choice. And it's to this choice that I appeal to you today. As nature cannot help but give glory to God, you and I get to choose whether or not we will worship our God. the earliest expressions of worship we see about worship right throughout Scripture. We read in Genesis chapter 4. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we read about worship. And it usually was this idea of the bringing of a sacrifice or an offering from one's crop or one's flock as an expression of gratitude, as an expression of love for God. I think it's similar what we read early in the Bible, people bringing gifts and offerings to express their gratitude as an act of worship. It's similar to why you and I give one another gifts when it's birthdays or whenever. We don't give one another gifts, well, mostly, not because we want something from that person, but we give one another gifts to say I love you, to express our affection and what you mean to us. That's why we give gifts. And in a similar sense, our worship is bringing God the gift of our lives, of our song, of our hearts, meditation, of our mind, of our thoughts. It is a gift. It is an offering we bring, a gift we give to God, given not to persuade God to do something for us, no, but as an expression of our love and our gratitude for God. It is a gift we bring. In the New Testament, there are really three Greek words that we can associate with this idea of worshiping God. The first one is the word proskuneo. I've put it up there for you. Proskuneo is an interesting word, and what it means is it's this idea to bow down in recognition of being in the presence of somebody greater than yourself. This idea of bowing down. Interesting. Those of you who have dogs might find this interesting. The idea, you know, when you've been away for a while and you get back home and your dog is all excited to see you, jumping up and down, running around, wagging tail. So by the way, can you ever imagine a cat doing that? No. Right? But a dog doing that. So that idea of like, but this dog is so excited to see that word. So when dogs do that, it's called proskuneo. Interesting. So next time, so when you get home today and your dog's all excited to see you, that's proskuneo. So this idea of just I'm in the presence of something greater than I, this joy, this excitement. And so when we think about worship and trying to understand it from God's word, we must connect worship to joy and excitement, this bowing down. The second word connected to the idea of worship in the Bible is the word sebumai. Sebumai is the understanding of that is approaching, again, coming to someone greater than what I am with a deep sense of reverence and respect. So when we understand worship, we approach it with joy and excitement. God, I'm glad to be in your presence. You know, jumping up and down a little bit, you know. I'm so pleased to be with you. But it also comes with a sense of an attitude of respect and reverence. Sebumai. Because I'm standing in the presence of somebody worthy. Somebody great. And then the final one is the word latreo. And the idea there is latreo. It is because I am in the presence of someone great, I want to surrender, I want to serve. So this idea of servanthood, of giving of myself. And so from the New Testament, very briefly, we understand worship and we bring into the ideas of joy and excitement, yet with reverence and respect. And at the very same time, a surrendering of myself, a saying, God, here I am. I give you who I am. I want to serve you. I bring my life to you as a gift, as an offering. My talents, my intellect, my emotions, my resources, my all, in acknowledgement of who you are and what you've done for me, I surrender and I seek to serve you. The English word worship comes from the old English word, worth-ship. And so when we worship, we are saying, you are worthy, God, of my joy, of my excitement. You are worthy of my respect. You are worthy of my life, of my service. So as we read the New Testament, the book of Acts, the epistles, we get to form a picture of what those early believers in Jesus did when they worshipped. I've made a little bit of a list. Let me read it for you. They prayed together with one another, giving thanks to God. So prayer is an important part of worship. They sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together to God. So singing. They broke bread together, sharing the Lord's Supper as a way of communing with God and with one another. So they prayed, they sang, they broke bread together. They confessed their sins to God and to one another. They reflected on Scripture together. So they studied God's word together. They encouraged one another, spurring one another on to this life of love and faithfulness and service. They collected an offering, expressing their love and gratitude to God, seeking to grow God's community, to build God's kingdom. They prayed, they sang, they broke bread, they confessed their sins, they reflected on Scripture, they encouraged one another, they collected an offering. Do any of those things sound familiar to you? It's what we do together here on a Sunday. That's why we do these things. It's not that somebody just sat down, ooh, I wonder, what should we do on a Sunday morning? It's God's followers have been doing this as an expression, as a way of worshiping God. And that's why in the year 2024, we, God's children, continue to do the same to this day. I want you to notice something, however, as a word of reminder and caution to us all, as an encouragement, as a challenge to us all. I want you to notice about those things. Worship was not something that they attended. It was not something they watched. It was not something that they observed, if you remember that list that I just gave you. Not something they watched or observed. It was something they did. It was something they brought. It was something they participated in. And so here's the thing. When you and I gather for worship, we gather not for a show. We gather not with the heart's attitude of, what am I going to get out of it today? I gather because what am I going to give to God today? And so I remember when I gather in this place that when we gather, you and I are not the audience. Right? God is the audience, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the audience, not you. You and I gather to bring, to enjoy an excitement in reverence and respect, to surrender and to serve, to bring our lives, our voices, our presence as a gift to the one who created us and loves us like no other. I come to bring, primarily, not to get. As I begin to wrap things up for us, there is two important components to worship. Speaking about worship in the way that we've focused ourselves to talk about it today, that I want to just remind us of. We know this, but just so that you know. As we read the Psalms, we discover, for example, Psalm 23, we have what we call the I Psalms. Psalm 23 is an example of that. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Right? But then we also have what we call the we Psalms. And Psalm 95 that I read for us is an example of that. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us bow down before our God. And so it reminds us of these two very important components to worshiping our God. There is the personal and there is the corporate. And so I encourage you, as we talk about spiritual disciplines for our growth and development, how is your personal worship of God going? don't neglect that personal. Are you taking the time to worship God in your personal capacity? How do you start your day? How do you end your day? Do you incorporate the worship of God in your day-to-day existence? You as a person. I encourage you to nurture your personal worship of God. It is vital to your growth. But then there is the corporate aspect, the together part, the things we do together. And so what we've done is, as a community, we've set a day aside. So Jewish people, for example, have chosen the Sabbath. And the symbolism of that, it is when God rested from creation, right? They've set that day aside. We as Christians, as New Testament followers and believers of Jesus Christ, have set a Sunday aside. Why? The symbolism of that is it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So by the way, you know what that means, right? It means that every single Sunday then should be a mini celebration of Easter. Should be a mini Easter every Sunday. And so we've set a day aside. In the week, we've set an hour or two aside on that day. We've said we want to come together as followers of Jesus to worship him. Do not neglect this spiritual discipline. Make it a top priority. Let your children see and know this is what we do as a family. This is important to us. And explain to them why it is important. Why do we do this? Explain to them what about worship and what worship is and why it is that we do the things that we do on a Sunday. There's just something beautiful that happens when we gather together like this that doesn't happen when we're on our own worshiping God. This beautiful thing happens where the Bible tells us that when we gather together in his name, Jesus is there. And so lives are transformed. This exchange takes place when we gather like this. We bring and we offer our worship, ascribing value and worth and acknowledging God for who he is and the role that he plays in our lives. And as we offer this to God, God, by his Holy Spirit, hears us and encourages us and challenges us and transforms us and changes us as we dwell together and encourage one another. This beautiful transformation takes place in our lives. There is one final thing I want to share with you, one final aspect of our corporate worship. So there's the Sunday morning. Let's never give up the habit of meeting together. But then there's another aspect of corporate worship, and we call it our life groups. So it's still in a group, but it's a slightly smaller group where we get to worship God together. We break bread and we study scripture. We pray together. We do all those things that we read in the New Testament, but we do it in a setting that's more interactive where we get to ask, where we get to discuss, where we get to hear from one another, where we support one another. And this is our life group month. We're launching our life group month. For this month, we are putting the emphasis on our life groups. As part of our spiritual disciplines, we want to say to you that we believe God has given us this vehicle of small groups, what we call our life groups, as a vehicle, as soil, where we can grow and practice our spiritual disciplines, truly become a follower, not just a fan, of Jesus. So, friends, the challenge and encouragement, what I hold before us today as a faith community, as your pastor, is spiritual discipline number one. Let's not neglect our personal worship to our Creator, but also our corporate, our Sunday mornings, and then in midweek with a smaller group. If you want to know about life groups, we invite you to our Connect Point, and they are ready to answer your questions. Let us pray. Lord, it is for us a privilege and a real joy to worship you, ascribing value, recognizing, acknowledging who you are, who we are, and who we can be in, through, and because of you. and to every week to be able to come together with family, with friends, to express that through our songs, through looking at your word, through our prayers, through having communion together, drinking coffee together, fellowship together. To be able to do that is a privilege for us. May we prioritize and nurture the spiritual discipline of both private and corporate worship as a way of living practically the resurrection life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.